I have a self-reliance meeting at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Everybody wants to be doing something, and you're going, why are we slaughtering ourselves?
They have self-reliance meetings every single month, from now to the end of the year. I'm going to go wash my glasses. I'm peering over my glasses because I can't see through my glasses.
Right. And that's not self-reliance. Actually helping people with self-reliance. That's the planning meetings that are supposed to help you know something about how to access the self-reliance, which really doesn't work out here because they're not going to extend self-reliance help out this far. It's just not going to happen. And so it's like, so I'm going to a planning meeting about an activity that has absolutely no bearing on anything I do, because it's a coordination meeting for people someplace else that do this. not here. Well, you can assign somebody to this and have them do it, and you go, Lisa already knows that whoever she assigns to it won't do it, and she'll have more headaches trying to get that person to interface and to do anything than there is for you just to go to coordination meetings that are meaningless to you and just kind of frustrate you. Is that kind of what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to be rude, but that's kind of how
okay.
I see it. And this is classic, you know? But if you don't attend, you'll get into some kind of trouble for not being supportive of it, right?
My poor little guy.
Uh-oh. It needs some... Well, to be honest, I guess that's why they put up in that standing thing.
Yeah.
Was to make it look better.
Yeah, see, these are my carrots. They're growing good.
Where are we going to put them?
I'm going to...
Are you going to get some more of these planters?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm gonna pull out more.
Yeah.
Line them up.
Okay. Oh, and this weekend I need to build your things, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they gonna? Okay. You're just gonna tell me where they're gonna go. Oh, we're not gonna have a fight about this at all. Your garden. I'm here to support you. Yet another in the vast conglomeration of things I should get my butt out of.
I even have two right here.
What are those?
Those are the same thing.
Two more?
Yeah, two more there. There's some more back there and another one way back there.
Of what?
Of the pumpkin.
Okay. Doesn't...
It starts out like that. See,
okay.
The
right.
Little
yeah,
wiggly
yeah.
Wiggly.
You're right. I'm sorry. Stay out of my bit. Just stay out of it, Nemo. I'm just going
to
water it. No, because it always turns into something. It always ends up being a fight. I don't think so, you do. And it's like, forget it. It's not important. It's not even important. Who cares? They're just pumpkins. Here's my problem with this. If this tree attracts those bugs, how come those bugs aren't working over this tree? I never see... Yeah? But once we get rid of the tree, does that get rid of the bugs? Ooh, here's a nasty looking... Matt, you should take a picture of this.
It's one of those things where he holds a couple of his legs up. It's not a tarantula. I think it's nastier.
So when we're done taking the pictures, don't
come. Oh, I don't know. You want me to?
I don't want it around.
All right. I'm okay with being the executioner. I love you, Lee. Like I say, I'm here to serve you. I just need to shut up and do a better job serving you. You've got a plan. Huh? Well, we're going to go with your plan, whatever it is. You realized my secret all these years. And you're saying, oh, do this and do that, and you go, no. Really don't have a plan. That's why things tend to go the way you want them to go. I know you say, no, they don't. You go, they go more your way than mine. Nice anyway. Pardon me. Doppelgangers aren't even interesting anymore because they go, everybody got one. Some more than others, maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Just the human bodies aren't terribly unique. Yeah? And so we just come back and say, bread. Bread.
Nobody
weird characteristics. The gene pool is getting a little shallow. Something like that. It says, don't find the love of your life at your family reunion, okay?
Yeah.
It says, I know there's a lot of people there, but what makes modern polygamy a little bit weird? You know, you would think that under those circumstances that would really jump up a gene pool, you know? But the only problem is, yeah, they already marry, right, they already married their sister and this sister, and it's like two or three families that just keep just mixing together. Yeah? To have those lower things in there? I'm a little bit worried about these new ones that we bought. They didn't. Yeah, they didn't anything like that. Just these. These will do this. And it's like, okay. Yeah. Market this book once I'm done with it. Well, I think it's Owen Kofer. Guy that did all the Artemis Fowl stuff,
uh-huh.
He was a real fan of Douglas Adams, so he got permission from the Adams estate to do a sixth Hitchhiker's Guide book, and I'm sorry, it was terrible. It had nothing in it as a hallmark to it. I mean, he had the characters. They really...
But they didn't sound like characters?
Well... Douglas Adams, it wasn't the characters particularly. It was the style that he wrote in. That was the biggest draw, as far as I'm aware of. And I'm using the same type of style. Now, I'm not using any of his characters, and, you know, so people can't come back and say, oh, he's ripped off. He's not allowed to touch that stuff. And you go, excuse me? I said, I'm not using one character, except in the advertising, which was, I don't know. Douglas Adams dead. Lucretia didn't notice.
Does Lucretia have a last name?
Yes. I don't remember what it is right now. I have to copy and paste it. That and the fact that I can't seem to... I can type Lucretia fine. I have problems saying it. And I always make it simpler. Lucinda or something. And you go, here. Thank goodness for search and replace. In a word processor. It had much more to do with circumstances. The actual characters that he brought in, everybody says, oh, it's just the amazing characters. And you go, no, it's not. It says, they're just present. It's really the situations they find themselves in. And how he describes them.
Look at it.
Looks like a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's going on, man.
Yeah. And you guys are not listening to me because everything involved.
Hazy.
I didn't know there was something to listen to, man. I apologize.
Well, we were walking up these... Well, but I thought he was talking about the sprinklers. It's like we see those every day.
Yes, you're right.
You didn't enunciate the words to make yourself clear, Matt.
It's okay, man. We're sorry. Bitty guy. It's really tiny. Oh, you could have taken a picture of him, I guess. You can kill him. Here, Matt. Ooh, you can take a picture of him. It's too bad. You really need to do a video of that. That's where all the interesting comes from. Oh, he fell over.
The wind blew.
Yeah. Up. And out. Cool. Up. Over.
Now, all of the recordings.
So that is an interesting one,
isn't it? Sure, look. Well, it's acting like one. The only thing I thought was ever interesting about the dorms was how they went around. Doing it. This is more, why can't I just crawl around like the rest of them? Seems like it's not so much work. But I think yeah, I think so. Oh, hold on, I don't know. Maybe not. We should have brought the other caterpillar over and had a contest to see which one went faster. I'm sorry, Matt. Apparently not to that. So yeah, I gotta think about... I gotta finish writing the book first, I guess. Don't get too weird about marketing until it's done. But yeah, I think the natural audience for it is... people who like Douglas Adams writing. Because, yeah, Owen Cofer's attempt, just, it was like, oh. You didn't, it says, for being this big fan of the Hitchhiker series, I don't comprehend that you got it at all. It says, it's okay, you know, because, I'm sorry. No. I just came up with a kind of a weird last name, that's all. Could have been Jones, but that's
It's okay. It didn't matter. Just something to put in there. I can always change it later. It's not like it's published yet. No, I wasn't wanting Well, point is, you don't make the situation funny. You aren't trying to be silly. Well, that's fine. You're not really trying. You're really not trying to do anything. It's like finding humor in everyday life. It was much more like that. Douglas Adams would spend 5 pages with a kid with an ice cream cone, eating an ice cream cone, and he'd have you roll on the freaking floor. And you're going, it's not so much in the situation. It's not that people are doing funny things. It's just in the way he presents it. And that's what I'm kind of doing, because it kind of fits me. I find it comes kind of readily to me. It's like, good. I want it to. And I like the fact that when it comes marketing time, I can come back with kind of an ad campaign that says, Lucretia knows Douglas Adams better than Owen Colfer does. Because the biggest selling point of anything is to try to get on to what's considered to be kind of a trend. Almost every fantasy book since Tolkien has basically tried to be like Tolkien. The more like Tolkien they were able to be, the more successful they ended up being. He was a genre definer. Not that fantasy didn't exist before him. He just did so much of a better job at it than anybody else. I mean, it was just like head and shoulders above anybody else. So he became the crown standard. And you can see people who have said, okay, there's an audience around Hitchhiker's Guide stuff. Yeah, like I said, now I don't read, honestly, when it gets right down to it. There's two or three, probably about 10 books that I actually read. And that's it. All the books I read. I'm not well read at all. And I just found a couple of books that I like, and I read them over and over again. And why anyone thought Ian Colfer who doesn't really do funny writing, I have absolutely no idea. Well, I know how he got the gig. He He begged for it. Everybody said that he just hounded the estate for permission to... Good job, guys. Good job. Now you can cool off. Maybe. Anyway, so... I don't know if I really understand how this works. Usually a whole line is along a pipe. You turn the water onto the pipe and they all go. Seems to make sense, but then it's like you come to one where it's like absolutely nothing. Weird. Looks like, are these things all interconnected? Are they staggered? Why would you do stuff like that? Except that you wanted to pay the guy installing it double for putting in two sets of pipes? Ugh. Instead, just one? I guess there's something to be said. If one of them's broken, the other one probably won't be. And you can still water stuff, I guess. And it's like, so when you dig up the other one to fix problems, you end up breaking the other one when you're digging up the first because it's right next to them. Oh, yeah. Not really very smart. What's cool, I think, about Douglas Adams is it was smart, funny. And it was kind of an inside sort of funny, you know? Some people would read those books and go, I don't understand what's going on. Yeah. Or, why does every... Who... What?
I read it.
Yeah, you said, what's funny about it? And you go... It's the way he writes it. And yeah, it's just totally something that only certain people will really actually get. Oh, of course it is, yeah. I mean, most of the writing he did was for Doctor Who during the Tom Baker period. And some people think that's the best. Other people think that Doctor Who is just silly and most of the other Doctor Who's were smarter. And you go, he doesn't talk about smart people. In fact, he usually makes fun of smart people because he loves to expose the fact that they're really not very smart at all. He'll tell you a whole story. It's like the whole thing about the two warring things on a far distant planet and they're coming to destroy the Earth to some random thing that Arthur Dent said. Oh, I'm sorry. No, but then when they finally come to the Earth, they don't get the scale right, and the entire invasion is swallowed by a small dog. But the moral of the story is, idle words can have big repercussions that we never know about, and that scientists have determined that this is happening all the time. You're just going, and I mean, this, it wasn't a very long, drawn-out story, but it was this whole thing, totally unrelated to the narrative of Arthur Dent and all these other people. Just stuck it in, and it has just the tiniest hook to Arthur Dent. That's it. And it's almost a profound truth, because it is. It says, we'll say little things, and it will totally destroy somebody's life. They'll never be the same. But you know what? We never know that. We were just talking. I don't think he came back to saying that you needed to be needed to be careful. It was just that this crap happens all the time. That's where it comes from. Ian Kofer plotted out his book carefully. Put in the way they behaved in the other books. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know if I was disturbing you from something you were more interested in. Okay, pardon me. Yeah, like I said, Kofer used all the elements. He kind of goofed with the actual guide itself. Because he wanted to make a connection between the Hitchhiker's Guide and the internet. And that ended up just being kind of a false start. All these people say, oh, Douglas Adams predicted the internet. And you're going, no, he didn't. It was an electric encyclopedia. And he was the first one to say, it was actually a big poke at people who thought they were worthy to write for encyclopedias. And he said, you know, it was just a travel guide, just really big, and it was found to be more useful than encyclopedias were. The fact that it was updated electronically over radio waves was about the only thing it had in common with the internet at all. So yeah, I said people, but Owen did decide to explore that little territory, and you're going, well, that was a mess, man. The guide was more apocryphal than ultimately useful, unless you wanted to know where a bar was. But the funny thing is that now that the internet's been established and a part of life for Lyme, what is it found most useful for? Helping people find where bars are. Crap like that. You know, when people said, oh, this is just gonna open up new vistas for us. We're gonna evolve. Yeah, and you're going, no, we're not. We're gonna use it for porn, and we're gonna use it for this and this and this. And instead, it's just become a huge marketing tool anymore. Says it could have been other things, but it didn't. Nobody uses it for anything except
to have conversations with people they could just as soon pick up a phone and have conversations with. Basically spouting drivel to each other. Yeah, and you're just going, it's, you know, and you go, is that good, is that bad? I go, I don't know. It says, but have we evolved? Are we now much more intelligent, much more complete, much more capable? And you go, no, in fact, I think we're going downhill. And it says, can we blame that on the internet? And you go, no, it's just us being us. We're just taking stupid stuff that we would normally do, and we're actually broadcasting it to everyone else so that they can see us doing the stupid things that we do, saying the silly things that we say. People who used to have to work really hard to get a riot going, it takes about 2 minutes and pretty small incidents going on to start one. Yeah. That's what they had to do when you had to gin up everybody to want to go out and hang some guy in the public square. Yeah. Or run the Mormons out of town. Yeah. You had to liquor them up and get them all. Now it's like, you don't even have to do that anymore. All you have to do is drop some idea that it's time to go riot because it's unfair, life's unfair to you. I don't think it has to do with that. I don't think they went out and rioted in the streets against whatever, police or anything. It was just, they just had an excuse. And they went out and did it. If they went out and got COVID-19 and all died, I would consider that tantamount to divine justice. For just saying. Oh, yeah. That's right. They're all out there scoring their next color TV and stuff like that and stealing all they can. And you're going, well, this is a legitimate protest. And you go, this is looting. As far as I knew, that's still legal. Oh no. Under cover of, number one, blacks can do no wrong. Anyway. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah. I think Colfer's interpretation of it is just a total mess. He brought in bit characters and tried to swell them up into something significant, and you go, there's nothing to say about them because there's nothing to extract in the thing. Funny, smart, didn't really explore all that stuff except the fact that other people who naturally have immortality thrust on them seem to be able to handle it. You know, they're all serene and stuff like that, and he's ticked off because it was something in a lab happened, and it says it required a styrofoam cup and a rubber band and two or three other things that we won't talk about, and all of a sudden he became immortal. This was, yeah. And he's really struggling with something to do. So he decided what he was going to do was he was going to insult the entire universe. And this was the most important part. He was going to do it in alphabetical order. So. No, people. Things. He came to see Arthur. Arthur was on this planet where he had been marooned for years. Alone and marooned. All of a sudden, this spaceship comes down. He's just like, he can hardly speak because he hasn't spoken so long. And this thing comes down and says, Arthur Dent. Yeah, Arthur Philip Dent. You're a complete knee-biter. He gets back in his ship, takes off.
And then he's, he's just sitting there going, and all of a sudden, in Ian Kofer's book, Wildbanger makes one more appearance, but it's kind of doing the same thing, except he comes in and he goes, wait, I've already done you. And so Kofer makes him like the main character in this book, and it's like, it says there was no character development except for the fun things that Douglas Adam does with people. This is, that's all. Heck. In So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, number 4. Is that number 5? I forget. Anyway. Oh, it may be Mostly Harmless, number 5. I don't even think Zaphod Beeblebrox is even featured. They mention him a couple of times. And they said, he went off and he got married and he's got a couple of kids. And that's it. And you're going, he was one of the main characters. Here's a big one. And you go, that's Douglas Adams for you. There was just nothing for Zaphod to, nothing interesting and funny for Zaphod to do, so he's gone. Here's one causing havoc, yeah. Still doesn't happen. But I'm not sure. See, I really haven't read Owen's book lately, and I don't think it's useful to read it again. I don't even know if I still have it. Not hurting as bad. Okay. But they're still hurting. You're such a mess. Lisa? I love you dearly. You can do whatever you want. I am here to be your friend. The fact that you put up with me is frankly stunning. Because I'm not that great of a companion. I'm kind of a Robbie Brown sort of friend. It's like, if you left me alone and didn't talk to me again, I'd be a happier person. That kind of stuff. But I do it anyway. Why? I don't know. Service to humanity. Not really sure. Yeah? Troubles, Matt? Oh. Then we shouldn't buy that house, huh? Yeah, but he doesn't like the flower. I thought it was the tree. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, I think 9669 is going to be a fun book that way. I could do the Thai version of it, but it's kind of funny. 969 apparently in Thai looks exactly like 696. It's like, okay. I guess they switched the symbols.
lightly researched. But when they say, well, this isn't a Douglas Adams book, you know. They said, well, I think people who enjoy Douglas Adams will enjoy this one too. Same circumstance ends up taking up a pretty large chapter. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't think you've read many of my novels. Have you read my novels? Which ones? You are always quite upset about the fact that they weren't thick enough, but I'm sorry, the story's done. What do you want me to do? Turn it into something thicker?
Longer chapters.
The reason why you get... I'm sorry. Then... you're just writing to fill up a page. It's like Dickens. Not to be rude, but Dickens was an absolute word hog. And it was on purpose. He was paid by the word. The more he said, the more he got paid. Says me? I don't get paid by the word. I got to sell a freaking book. Sad part is, people say, oh, no. It's got to be 1,000 pages long to justify the $40 price tag we're sticking on it. You know, it's got to be this thick to justify that. It's kind of like writing grants. Howdy. Anyway, no, I'm going to continue to write the way I write. I'm not going to start running to please some publisher. Because I'm gonna self-publish it as usual. I'm going to actually try to advertise. Find some way of doing it. And just let Amazon do all the hard work. Kindle... Do a print version of it that they just print out as orders come in. Kind of the value for value model. Just say, you know, you're not going to make $100 million off the thing, but you'll make enough to stay fed. And can you keep doing this for the foreseeable future? And you go, yeah. And you go, see, there you go, ta-da, welcome to life. Retirement is a rather new concept. Nobody did that in the past. You just got sick and you stopped working and you moved in with your kids. That was how things went. I think we're going to get back to that. I think the biggest part of the 20th century is going to just be almost a weird jab or workable ways. You know, the whole thing where the entire economy is totally driven by the stock market. It's like, see, here comes some more Douglas Adams stuff. Little thing off the cuff, but if you think about it for a little bit, it might have some deeper meaning to it. Just talking about this planet, Frog Star B, totally used to have a big thriving civilization on it. But at this point in the story where we kind of connect with it, find out that it's just totally, I mean, it's just gone. All their crap's still there. And they said what happened was that there were started being more shoe shops on High Street than were necessarily needed. But people would dutifully go out and buy shoes, right? If there's a shop, you gotta go in the shop. If you're in the shop, you gotta buy some stuff. Well, at some point, there were more and more shoe stores that were popping up because it was the most profitable business. And then he created some economic term to tie to it. You know, the shoe horizon. And he said, along with more and more shoe stops, the shoes began getting worse and worse and more unwearable. But people kept buying them, you know. Said, and finally, the entire economy was just about shoes, and it collapsed, and everybody died. And they were left with this broken husk of a world, with piles and piles of shoes everywhere. Cautionary tale to young economists. Kind of story that old economists tell young, and I think, to a certain extent, that's what we're going to see out of all this. Everybody says, oh, we're not going to go back to slavery or serfdom or anything like that. And I go, we already are. We're already 3/4 of the way back. We just continue to tell ourselves that it'll never happen. All while we're being enslaved. Yeah, I said, that's really the only difference is we've got a good job of convincing all the slaves that that's not what they are at all. And yeah, is the manor coming back? And you go, I think it will. So I say, well, it's democratic. And you go, who cares if it's democratic or not? That doesn't change anything. It always tends to come to me like that. It's always a thing about what is the practical difference? And you go, none. And you go, see, so what's the difference? Well, if it's democratic, it's okay. We voted for it. And you go, but what is the end outcome? It doesn't matter if you can vote. You're still a slave. So the only thing is, your master's sitting there just absolutely stunned that he can put himself forward as your master and you will vote to have him stay your master. I said, that's the only thing that democracy buys you is the absolute wonder of, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys are voting for your own slavery. Oh, the party? Oh, okay. Of course, the party's changed quite a bit. Yeah. You can say, well, they've changed their platform. They're much more worried about this, this, and this than they were. And you go, but it's the same people. Are they still after the same basic things underneath? And you go, yeah. And you go, then what's the difference? They're still the same people. You know, they used to be against blacks integrating. Now they're crazy about, you know, blacks aren't blacks aren't integrated enough. And you're going, but is the same thing underlying it happening? Yes. Yeah. They're still buying very cheaply the black vote. And I said, and what's the problem? I said, the blacks keep giving it to them. I said, the minute that stops happening, you'll see huge changes in the Democrat Party. I guess. I don't know. They're always hope. We'll see. I think it comes back to the whole thing, which Dennis people, it says, and the vast majority of people will do what they think is calculated to help them get that. And you go, that's why, you know, being a moral person is not an instinct. It's not something that people want to do. People would much rather get free stuff and be, you know, and be able to go out and club and party and stuff like that. Because that's what the vast majority of people really want to do. Most people who are working just want to work until they have enough money, and then they'll do that. And you go, I understand, I'm kind of like that too. It says everybody is. It says being virtuous is something that's more difficult and is kind of a... Anyway, it says people are not going to be moral by nature. They have to have a religion teach it to them over and over and over again. It has to be something that they actually want and that they strive to have. You know, people say, well, only a handful of people are going to become like God. And you go, yeah, makes total sense. But why? And you go, because wanting to be like God isn't even interesting to most people. That's why people say, oh, we've got to share the gospel. And you go, well, then why are we doing it the way we're doing it? But, okay, I need to shut up now because it's going to get bad. But I think we would do better. Or a good thing to do that I would call missionary work is to like write stories about virtuous people ascending to that level. And people who want that read the book and say, how do I do that? And you go, we'll tell you how. Instead of trying to cast it as some kind of other thing, having the missionaries go out and try to knock on people's doors and do a door approach and try to make them interested enough that they'll do something. Because what is the Book of Mormon? A big story. Not fictional. I'm not saying it's a story that way, but it is. It is a collection of stories of people's interactions with God, right? Actually, the Book of Mormon is not that good at that. That's actually the Old Testament more than anything else. The Book of Mormon is just people. Righteous, not righteous. Doing this, doing that. You actually get most of the practical application. What can a normal person do to get closer to God? That's the Old Testament. The New Testament is just the story of Jesus. And then a little bit about his apostles. And about some of their writings. That's all the New Testament is. If anything, if you want to try to get people interested in Godhood, you got to write a book about it. A story. Lay it out. Yeah. Oh no, it offends me greatly, as all things do. I hope you know I'm kidding completely. It's almost a crazy question to ask. Is it okay to do this? I actually ask you questions like that, but that's because about 3/4 of the time, you say no. So, I'm sorry, I did not clean off the counter. Okay. Well, you get on to me when I don't, because you say it's part of doing the dishes, and you're right, it is. This is actually clean. I just didn't know where to put it.
Yeah.
I don't know where it goes.
Well,
sorry.
We have one more over here.
We're quickly running out, but that's okay. They have done us an excellent turn. I don't even know what you originally bought it for.
Your mom bought them.
Oh.
When after she put them in the microwave,
I see. But that's okay because they serve us very well for many, many years. One of our favorite pieces of this and that, I think. I used them a lot.
Uh-oh,
my phone isn't coming alive. There it is. Okay.